Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the covers YouTube and X channels. If you guys are watching on YouTube, smash that subscribe button right down there. So coming off a very entertaining evening of sports last night, sports betting, I should say. How about John Mettler going 2 for 4 with his home run bets? I think he did over 6 units on home run bets. So some good shout outs by him. Last night, I went 2 and 3 overall, NFL and MLB combined. I got really burned that Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers. I had under 32 and a half for his longest completion. So got absolutely burned on that one. So not a good night, not a totally miserable one though. So we will look to bounce back here today. We will be covering the one Major League Baseball playoff game in the second half of the show, taking a look at some NBA future stuff as well with John Mettler, but we will be leading the show like we always do here on Tuesday. In a matter of seconds, I got Hitman will be by to talk about some of the big storylines in the NFL. The Jets dominating the news cycle here. I've never spent so much time talking about a losing franchise as I do talking about the New York Jets. Could you imagine if we spent all this time talking about like the Arizona Cardinals? So much drama about the Jets here. If you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know what you like in week 7 of the NFL. Let us know what you like in the Major League Baseball game here tonight in New York City. Okay, let's go to our guy who will be in attendance at the Yankees game tonight. He just told us. Hitman, now I know you usually stick to football. Will you be placing any wagers on the Yankees-Guardians game here this evening?
I'll probably put like a D-gen bet on the Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I tweeted about this. I had a good week on this show. I believe I went 2-0, but my personal betting was a rough week this past week. And it was like Sunday at like 5 o'clock or something. I knew I was having a bad day, didn't add up all the figures yet. And I get a call from a sports book and they're like, hey, we appreciate a lot of your business and everything. Would you like to get free tickets behind home plate to game 2 of the Yankees game? And, you know, I was flattered. I was like, you know, I got to take these tickets, like $1,000 ticket per ticket when I looked on StubHub. But at the same time, I was like, damn, I think when I add up these figures, it's going to be a rough week if a sports book is calling me and offering me free tickets behind home plate to an ALCS game. So wasn't my best week, but had a pretty decent year so far and going to try to enjoy the game tonight.
Okay. I'll have a bet for you. You can make a little bit of that back. You're going to have to wait to the second half of the show though. Okay. So let's talk New York Jets, I guess. I mean, this is the second Tuesday in a row, Tuesday morning, where the Jets have dropped a bomb on us. Last Tuesday morning, they fired Robert Saleh. Today, they make the trade for Devontae Adams. I think a lot of people did expect that. So the game last night, yeah, I do think the Jets did show a little bit of a spark on offense. The defense looked a little bit worse, though, to be completely fair. Ultimately, though, too many mistakes, way too many penalties in that game. It was not a very entertaining watch. The Bills end up picking up the W. But they trade for Devontae Adams. They bring him in. Devontae Adams, he's probably at the tail end of his prime, I think could be fair to say. What's your assessment of this team going forward, Hitman? They're 2-4, win total 8.5, plus money on the over. They're plus 155 to make the playoffs. Do you think Devontae Adams can get this team over the hump? That combined with the new coaching regime, there's a lot going on here for the Jets, right?
I'll say this. I thought that Todd Downing did do a better job, at least in game 1, than what Nathaniel Hackett what was doing so far. I like that Downing used a lot more pre-snap motion yesterday, and the offense did look better. Now, with that said, like, Aaron Rodgers has been kind of anti pre-snap motion throughout his career. So how sticky is it that they do stay with this game plan, especially if the offense does struggle for a little bit of time? We'll see. I think it still looked like the same undisciplined Jets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers spoke a few weeks ago about this team having accountability, and the amount of penalties last night was just simply unacceptable. Their run defense for all this talk about how good of a defense this is, their run defense has been exposed in some game. I mean, the San Francisco game was really bad, but obviously yesterday, that first drive, Buffalo just absolutely ran it down their throat. This team's starting to feel like, to me, I don't know if you remember, but do you remember the 2011 Minnesota Vikings? It was the year after they made the NFC Championship. They had all this talent. They had the aging quarterback. They had to fire Brad Childress midseason. Randy Moss was traded to this team in like week five back when from the New England Patriots. There was drama seemingly every single week with this team. A lot of people talk about like Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of similarities throughout his career and late in his career on like the trajectory of his career with Brett Favre. This year with the Jets is kind of starting to feel like that 2011 Vikings team. So I don't know. I mean, I upgraded the Jets with the Adams trade, but it's not solving all their problems, in my opinion.
You know who they remind me of? They remind me of the Brooklyn Nets, the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden Brooklyn Nets. That was a team that was run by the players. They didn't necessarily have strong coaching in place. And I can see some similarities there between the two teams. You know, Aaron Rodgers says he's not the one making these calls, which I do think is a little bit of a joke. But, you know, the day after, you know, Rodgers kind of calls out Mike Williams in the press conference. And then the next morning, they're bringing Davante Adams. And that trade was put in motion last night, apparently. So interesting stuff. People in the live chat saying Russell Wilson is now expected to start for the Steelers. I know you're going to talk about this game in your best bets. Were you aware of that? Or are we going to have to take
that? No, I'm finding out along with everybody else. Okay. My initial, initial thought live on with you right now is I don't think it makes much of a difference, okay, to be honest, as far as like the power rating for the Steelers. I think these are pretty similar quarterbacks, to be honest. I mean, gun to head, maybe I'd say Fields would be the guy I'd prefer, but it's really tight. I don't think it matters much for the spread.
Yeah, Fields, I think a bit more playmaking ability, it would be fair to say. Okay, so more Jets talk later, maybe, but let's kick this around. So we're 6 weeks into the season. From a betting perspective, you know, we all had opinions about certain teams and players going into the season. For you, who's been the biggest surprise? Who has been the biggest disappointment?
Well, some of these are going to be pretty obvious, but the Minnesota biggest surprise, I mean, I don't think people realize how impressive it is. Like the fact that not only are they undefeated right now, but that these wins came over San Francisco, Houston, and Green Bay. And not only did they win those games, like they dominated those games at certain points. And even like the Jets and the Giants, to win those, to dominate the Giants, to dominate the Jets early in that game, like what they're doing against the strength of schedule is even beyond what I thought. And I was someone that was as high on them as anyone coming into the year. Disappointment. I mean, these are the obvious ones again, but Cleveland and Jacksonville were 8.5 wins before this season. Like, I think the current numbers is 6.5. Juiced under on Jacksonville. I haven't even looked at Cleveland's, but I would guess that's probably like 4.5 to 5.5 right now. Yeah. Cleveland just absolutely refuses to sit Deshaun Watson. Like I have to figure that it's coming from ownership at this point, but Kevin Stefanski is running a risk of losing his locker room at this point, because it's tough to look into the camera every single week and say that we're playing Watson because he gives us the best chance to win. He is historically bad. And Jacksonville, it looks like we have a lame duck coach, but it also looks like with their roster, like there could be changes. There could be a fire sale coming when they get back from London, especially if they lose. I mean, you've got to figure they win this week. They got to figure they win as 5.5 point favorites, but yeah, there could be some changes coming.
Yeah, the wheels have truly fallen off for both of those teams. Speaking of the wheels falling off, I wouldn't go quite that far, but everybody is killing the Cowboys here this week, including myself. Just an embarrassing loss on Jerry Jones's 82nd birthday there on their home field versus the Lions on Sunday. So it had me thinking, you know, you got to go in and take a look at where they stand from a futures perspective. So I'm going to throw this one at you. Good bet or bad bet? Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East plus 425. Now the Cowboys, yes, they're coming off an awful performance. They're 3-3. The Commanders lead the division at 4-2. The Eagles look like a sloppy mess. Dallas really beat up right now. They are going into their bye week though. What I say about the Cowboys, this has been a great regular season team. Three straight 12-win seasons. Now, the rest of the schedule isn't easy by any means, but it's all about that number, plus 425 for the Cowboys to win the division. Good bet or bad bet?
I don't like the timing of it, personally. I haven't ran it to, like, see, like, if I have value on that number. But I think if you're going to consider it, you wait a little bit. You wait. Washington plays Carolina this week. I would be very surprised if Carolina won that game outright. And if you look at Dallas's schedule, who do they have a bye this week, but who do they play next week? At San Francisco. And it's a Sunday night game also. So I think that the stock on Dallas might be going down even more after that game, because San Francisco is a team that just stylistically, matchup wise, gives them fits. San Francisco's run game just gives them fits. And Dallas has been a historically bad run defense to start the year. So I think if you're interested in it, you wait a little bit. Like, maybe you get involved after that San Francisco-Dallas game. And of course, Dallas could win that game, and then this plus 425s aren't going to be around anymore, you know? So Yeah. It is a risk. But it's such a bad matchup. If the game's in San Francisco, like, I could see Dallas just getting stomped in that game. And then if you do want to get involved with them, you do it after that week.
Okay, so maybe wait.
And also maybe wait, because see what's up with Micah Parsons too.
Yeah,
like, we don't know about his health. We don't know about DeMarcus Lawrence's health right now. Maybe Brandon Cook's health right now. Like, so I think you just wait on it, and you maybe store it away for a few weeks from now if you're interested.
Okay, so sit tight if you're bold enough to want to back the Cowboys in futures markets. Okay, so we have got some really good-looking games coming up here this week. There's two specific that I want to ask you about. You were talking about this team, the undefeated Minnesota Vikings, hosting the Detroit Lions. These teams have played in a lot of high-scoring games here lately. The Vikings are favored by 2.5. We have a total of 50. What do you think of this matchup on Sunday?
A small lean to the Vikings. I just think that, you know, Jared Goff, despite his good numbers, he's had some big games against Seattle, against Dallas. He hasn't been good in predictable passing situations this season. And Minnesota does have the team that can stop the run and put him in some of these predictable passing situations. And if you do, Jared Goff has also been one of the worst quarterbacks this season under pressure. And we know one thing is that Minnesota will put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And then Hutchinson is just a massive loss to the style of defense that the Lions want to play, where they're just so aggressive. They play a lot of single high safety, man coverage. Like, this team gets after opposing wide receivers and challenges teams. And without having their elite pass rusher now, that's a big loss. Obviously, Minnesota is in a good situational spot coming off the bye. They have one of the bigger home field advantages in the NFL. And like I said, I mean, they have done this so far against the toughest strength of schedule, arguably, in the league. So, yeah, slight lean towards Minnesota.
Okay, game of the week comes in San Francisco, the 49ers playing host to the Chiefs. Both of these teams are going to be very well rested. The Chiefs, of course, coming off their bye. The 49ers coming off of playing a Thursday night football game. Now, it's been a weird season for the 49ers. You know, they've looked really good a few times, but you got to consider the competition in those games. You know, Jets in week one, the Patriots on their home field. a Seattle team that's been really exposed over the past couple weeks. Meanwhile, the Chiefs just kind of keep on trucking along here. Good start to the season for them. So the 49ers are favored by one, total of 47. The Chiefs are 13-3-1 against the spread as an underdog since Patrick Mahomes took over as a starter in 2018. This includes six straight outright wins. How do you think this matchup shapes up here for Sunday?
Probably just going to enjoy the game and maybe bet on some props. I think it's well-priced right now at current market. I will say that if you have access to six-point teasers in the minus 120 range, and Kansas City is sitting at a +1.5 at a lot of spots, it's freaking appealing to tease up Mahomes to 7.5. That you don't get that opportunity often to tease Mahomes up to that spot. So not many strong opinions other than just maybe looking to play Kansas City in a teaser and maybe looking at some props in this game.
Okay, let's get into some best bets here. We have the makings of a very ugly-looking Thursday night football game. I was talking to the guys beforehand in our pre-show meeting and talked about how we've had a couple good Thursday night football games in a row from an entertainment perspective, at least. The Bucs and Falcons going to overtime in a shootout was great. The 49ers Seahawks wasn't necessarily competitive, but we saw a lot of scoring, so it was good for, you know, prop betting and such. But this week, we have the Denver Broncos going to New Orleans to take on the Saints. You know, it's going to be the Sean Payton homecoming. It's going to be shoved down our throats in this one. But maybe a shitty game, but you think a pretty good betting opportunity. You like the Broncos money line in this game.
So the Saints are my 32nd ranked team. And shop around for the money line price. I think I'm seeing right now minus 135, 140-ish out there. Or no, 130-ish on Denver. The Saints are my 32nd ranked team right now. And that is all based off the current injury situation. I mean, how often do we see that you could make an argument, Joe, and you tell me if you agree with this. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say that right now for this week, of all 32 teams, the Saints have the worst starting quarterback in the NFL, debatable, let's say bottom three, whatever.
Yep.
The worst skill position players as far as wide receivers, tight ends that he's throwing to, like Juwan Johnson right now is the number one pass catcher, I would say, on the Saints out of tight ends and wide receivers, assuming that Shaheed and Olave are out for this game. And you can argue this is the worst offensive line, bottom three, bottom five. They were an offensive line that was rated poorly coming into the year, and you're without three starters and they're missing key depth pieces right now this team is just absolutely devastated. And then look at the defense right now. They're in a terrible spot because it's their third game in 10 days. They played on a Monday. So they had a short week last week and now they have another short week. They have played 80 and 72 snaps defensively in that span, and they have allowed 460 yards to the Chiefs and 600 yards to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They should have been blown out in Kansas City. It was a miracle that they weren't. The Kansas City was just pissing on themselves that entire game to not win by more than 13. And Tampa winning by 24, it was almost a faulty final. Like, it could have been worse if it wasn't for the Mayfield turnovers in his own territory. Yeah. In that second half, I mean, they had 600 yards of offense in the game. So I just think that right now, like, this is the Saints are in the worst situation, one of the worst situational spots of the past few years. And I think that they're in one of the worst injury spots. I think that they're the worst team in the league right now going into this specific week. That'll change when they get healthy.
Yeah.
Right now, they're the worst.
Okay. That is a bold statement, but I think I am convinced. I will be tailing that pick here because I was a little confused about what to do here. It's kind of leaning the under, which I still do like. But, yeah, I do think the Broncos show up for this one. Do you read much into the – how do you like motivation spots? I always view them as it's kind of just guessing. You know, the talent still has to be there. Like, people talked about the Jets, like the new coach bump last night. It's like, well, the talent still has to be there. Like, to meet the motivation. Is that something you incorporate into your handicaps very much at all? Like this one, Sean Payton's homecoming, going back to New Orleans, right? So
yeah, the Sean Payton one, not a ton, but like the coach getting fired stuff, typically that does get a small boost just because it's kind of, it, especially if it was a team that didn't like their coach, you know, that typically does give a little bit of a boost where you get a team's home run effort. But like for the Sean Payton thing, it really wasn't a big factor in my handicap.
Okay. So we touched on this game earlier. Do you still like, you gave out, you submitted before we came on the air, before they announced Russell Wilson was the starter here on Sunday night, you submitted Steelers plus 1.5. That line has not moved. Is that one you want to rethink, or are you still going to be in on that with Russell Wilson as a starter for the Steelers?
I'm still good with it. Justin Fields and Wilson, I think, are similar as far as I'm really not upgrading or downgrading Pittsburgh much off of that. Obviously, we know the Steelers are going to be run focused no matter who the quarterback is, and the Jets have shown a propensity to be get run over by some of these, by some teams in the past few weeks. This line moved off the Davante Adams news. Like Pittsburgh was 1.5 point favorites at some sharper shops. And then the Adams move happened, okay, and now we're looking at them as an underdog. Like, how much of an impact will he even have on this game? Like, I don't think that the hamstring injury was just made up from all reports I've seen. So will he even be playing? One, if he is playing, yes, he has chemistry of Aaron Rodgers, but what to expect of him? Maybe 60% of the snaps or something. He's in certain packages. We'll have to see. And at the end of the day, I just – have these teams close to equal. I have the Jets better, but just very slightly better in my power rating. So with Pittsburgh having home field as well, I just thought that Pittsburgh should have been maybe a very small home favorite, and we're getting him as a dog. So yeah, I like Pittsburgh still.
Yeah, so many storylines for this game. You know, the Jets looking to bounce back. Davante Adams probably back in the lineup for them. Now Russell Wilson starting for the Steelers.
And now there's a report that Pittsburgh might play both quarterbacks. The latest report.
Let's go. Okay.
Like, so you know what? I mean, it can't hurt that they're playing these mind games, make the Jets prepare for two quarterbacks. So we'll see.
Yeah, especially kind of like an inexperienced coaching staff running the show here for the Jets. So maybe some gamesmanship there by Mike Tomlin. Okay, let's wrap with this. You've been giving out these over-under win totals as we go throughout the season. Today, you don't think things improve for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're going to take under 6.5 for their win total here for the remainder of the season.
Bottom five defense, Trevor Lawrence regression, possible fire sale of Christian Kirk could get traded, Evan Engram, Travis Etienne. It's a lame duck coach. We're asking Jacksonville to finish 6-5 this season.
Okay.
We're asking, and I think it's minus 150-ish right now on the under, but we're asking them to finish 6-5 with a very tough part of their schedule coming up after this New England game against Green Bay, Philly, Minnesota, Detroit, and Houston. That's their next five games after that. That is a gauntlet of a schedule. I think we're asking a lot for them to finish 6-5. That's simple.
Okay, yeah. The poor people of London get the Jaguars.
I know some people say, like, should you wait after the weekend's game with, but I know this got brought up. I think it was when San Francisco played the Rams. I gave out San Fran under on this show in week 2 or 3, and San Francisco played the Rams, and somebody mentioned, like, oh, should you wait? Because there's so much upside if they listen, if they win that game against the Patriots, it's not going to change a ton. If they lose that game, like, this line is going to be 5.5 minus 150 to the under next week. So I don't think it makes as big of a difference to wait or not. I think I still like it regardless. So even if they win this week, I still am not against betting on Jacksonville to go 5-5 the rest of the way.
How much of that game do you anticipate watching? I know you're a hardcore football guy, so am I, but this is one of the worst
games.
You're going to watch the whole game?
Yeah, I haven't missed in the last 20 years, I haven't missed much. I have not missed much. That's I've fair. Been through it all. So now I'm going to be watching it.
As I say, a game only a better could love, right? Jacksonville, New England, in London. Absolutely. It's a little tricky for me when you have little kids running around. You have to book the rest of the whole afternoon and evening off. It can be a little tricky that, you know, that 9:30, 10:30 start for the London game. But yeah, a game only a better can love. Absolutely. Okay, Hitman, we will leave it at that for today, but we want to wish you best of luck with all your bets this week. And we look forward to chatting with you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, very active live chat here today. The guys weighing in, we have a poll up asking if you guys think the Jets will make the playoffs. I do not think the Jets will make the playoffs. Their odds to make the playoffs, plus 155. I got to say, though, the schedule the rest of the way, not very difficult, really. They'll face the Bills again. You know, they're going to get the Patriots, of course. That should be an easy W. So they have the Steelers, Texans coming up. So, yeah, always a lot of drama here with the New York Jets. Okay, let's get into a little bit of Major League Baseball and NBA. Let's go to our guy, the Magic Ass Man. Johnny Metz, Mr. 6.5 units on home run bets yesterday, Mettler? Pretty good.
Yeah, we got two of the New York guys, Juan Soto and Mark Vientos. I bet Lindor in the NLDS, he hit a grand slam, and then I bet Mark Vientos in the NLCS, and he hits a grand slam. So I tweeted out, I was like, I think Mets fans should pay me to place bets on their guys because they keep hitting grand slams every time I bet on them. So it's pretty funny.
Man, you almost had your touchdown score bet too. The guy got into the end zone and they called it back. Cause you must have, did you watch that happen live?
I actually fell asleep and then woke up, and I woke up to a bunch of text messages from a lot of guys being like, they were screaming when he went in, and then they got so mad when they called it back. So we're really close. I did a New York parlay. I had Mark Vientos, Juan Soto, and then Braylon Allen was the last guy to score a touchdown. And it was, I saw the replay. I was like, I don't know if it's a hold, but that is what it is. Keep moving.
Holy shit, man. Yeah, you were cleaning up. You must have been feeling yourself there for a little bit. But we move on to today. So Major League Baseball last night, the Mets did what a team is supposed to do when you're an underdog on the road. You get the split on the road. So that one's all evened up at one. They'll head back to Queens tomorrow night. The Yankees, good offensive performance. We saw Carlos Rodon bounce back. Nice performance by him last night. So the Yankees did what they were supposed to do, picking up game one here at home. They're going to try to make it 2-0 at home here tonight. One bet on this game for me, and I'm going right back to the well. Absolutely love this one. Once again, Juan Soto over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 120. Guys, if it's not broke, do not fix it unless they drastically change the odds, which they have not. So going back to the regular season, he has now gone over this in 11 of his last 13 games. He's hitting .353 with an OPS over 1,000 in the playoffs. And Soto is a big game player. I pointed this out yesterday. He has topped this number of 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs in 16 of his last 20 playoff games. This is a guy who's always in the mix. I do expect him to be in the mix again here tonight. I'm just going to keep riding that one until the odds, you know, if it gets up to the minus 145, minus 150, maybe not a whole lot of interest, but minus 120, I do think that is fair. So we'll sit back and see if Soto can get on the bases and cross the plate, knock a few guys in, maybe go over that 1.5. Okay. NBA season, John, tell us when it starts.
1 week. This is your last Tuesday without regular season action. So 1 week today, we'll have regular season games.
1 week, indeed. Okay, so we're going to continue our look at NBA, some of these standout teams, a betting preview for these teams, and John has a fan-friendly bet for each of these teams. Today, we're going to take a look at two teams that met in the Western Conference playoffs last year, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, two teams I'm a little confused by coming into the season. Let's start with Denver. Mick, if you want to pull up that graphic. So they are 10-1 to win the NBA Finals, to win their division, plus 325. Their win total is 51.5. That seems a little low coming off a 57-win season. Key additions, they bring in Russell Westbrook. I am a Russell Westbrook apologist, so I will not be trashing him on this show. Dario Saric as well. Of course, they lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope goes to Johnny's Orlando Magic. and Reggie Jackson, not a big loss there. And John's favorite feature bet, Jokic, to win the clutch player of the year. 40-1. Taking a big swing on that one. So I don't know. I expected the Nuggets last year. I expected them to be right back into the NBA finals, but you got to call it what it is. They absolutely choked in the semifinals against the Timberwolves. Two horrendous losses. So they're up 3-2 in the series. Game six in Minnesota, they score 70 points and lose by 45. Then game seven at home, they have a 15-point lead at the half and they lose the game. So that is an incredible choke. And I'm thinking, could you imagine if like a situation like that happened to a guy like LeBron or Kevin Durant? They would get absolutely killed. So Jokic maybe getting a little bit of a pass for that. But I think that the championship window for the Nuggets is still very much open. You know, I was very surprised by the exit last year. They don't quite have the depth that they did last year, but still, people are really concerned about Jamal Murray, just 27 years old. You know, he didn't look good last season. He looked awful in the Olympics there for Team Canada. You don't have to tell me that, but I think he can bounce back. I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't. Jokic still just 29 years old, still right in the thick of his prime. So, yeah, I expect the Nuggets to be probably a Final Four team this year. They should get back to the Western Conference Finals at the very least, maybe them in OKC. John, your overall thoughts on the Nuggets going into the season, then we'll get you to break down that bet.
Yeah, Todd in the chat here is not going to be completely happy with me because I actually do think the Nuggets will regress just a little bit. And when I mean that, like, they're not going to follow the playoff picture, but in terms of being like a 1-2 top seed in the West, I do think you could see them come back to that pack and maybe be in the play-in tournament, but kind of be that 6-5 seed. I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, massive loss. Like the biggest thing with the Nuggets the last couple of years that you've seen in the NBA, it's all, everyone has talent, but the hardest part is getting that fit. And that starting five was like the perfect fit. Everyone had a role. They played it to perfection. That was like the best starting five we had in the NBA. And they lose KCP. They're hoping Christian Braun can step up into that spot. But like on top of KCP just being an elite defender, he shoots 40% from three. Like there's not many guys who can do both. And that's obviously why he got a huge contract from the Magic as well, especially playing alongside Jamal Murray, because Jamal Murray isn't the best defender. You are kind of concerned with Jamal Murray. Like if you watch the Olympics, he was horrific. Like you couldn't even put him on the floor for Canada. He did not look good. I know he's been battling injuries and stuff. I just think they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. Like maybe like the win totals they're sitting at 51.5 could be a 50-49 win team. That's kind of like my opinion. So like, they're not going to be terrible. They're not going to fall completely out of the picture. I just don't think they're going to be as good as you've seen them be in the last these last couple seasons. They kind of have some things to figure out, and like you said, there's not much depth. They are like very vulnerable to an injury, like completely derailing kind of their season here. So you bring in Russell Westbrook, that doesn't really help the shooting piece. They're gonna lean on Julian Strother as well. That could be a guy that could really help them off the bench, but you are kind of concerned. I'm concerned about their depth in terms of the bet there, the clutch player of the year for Nikola Jokic. So the clutch player of the year, this is the third year we have it. It's very clearly defined. You lead the NBA in clutch points, you win the award. That's what's happened the last 2 years.
What's defined as clutch points?
Just like the game has to be a certain, like close in the fourth quarter in a certain amount of time, then you score in that window of time.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's going to play exactly into what I'm saying here. So last year I bet on SGA to win this award. I think the mistake I made last year was that the Thunder were too good that he wasn't involved in enough clutch games, because the point spread has to be, you have to win, but you also have to be close, right? And they're blowing teams out. And then you look at Steph Curry, like he was kind of in that window. Warriors, good team, but kind of more middle of the pack. So there's more opportunity for clutch points. And when I'm saying I think the Nuggets will regress a bit into like a 49-48 win team, I think that opens the door to Nikola Jokic to play in more clutch minutes and accumulate more clutch points. And last year he finished, I think, fourth or fifth in clutch points. So he was there last year. It's not like he's far off. And they're going to run everything through him. You know, if it's a close game, he gets the ball. It's his team. So 40-1, it's a pretty nice price. Just it kind of plays into where I feel like the Nuggets will fall in the standings as well.
Okay. Do you think the championship window is still open? I mean, they got to add somebody here at some point of the season. I say it's still open because of the fact that when they get into a playoff series, Jokic is going to be the best player on the court in the majority of these games, right? And he has the ability to take over a game. So over the course of a regular season, they might not look as impressive. But if Murray gets back to Jamal Murray, I mean, you got to like this team to get back to the finals, I would think, right?
Yeah, but I think playoff series is different in terms of surviving 82 games. The depth is not like they had a couple years ago, even with Bruce Brown and guys like that. Yeah. But in terms of a playoff series, only a couple teams have defenders who can stop Nikola Jokic. So that, and if, like you said, if Jamal Murray gets healthy, that combo of Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic is really, really hard to stop. So they could take out anyone in a playoff series. But just the overall picture for like the season long, I don't really like them winning the division. I probably would play the under on their win total.
Okay. Let us now swap over to the team that took them out of the playoffs last year. Surprised some people. The Minnesota Timberwolves made a nice leap there last season to win the NBA Finals 12-1. Northwest Division plus 250, win total of 52.5. That's after winning 56 last season. Key additions, Julius Randle, DiVincenzo, Dillingham. They say goodbye to Karl Anthony Clowns, Anderson, and Morris. John's favorite fan-friendly futures bet, Anthony Edwards, first team All-NBA, plus 215. So, great leap this team had, no doubt about it, last season. Great defensive team, 56 and 26. They went all the way to the West Finals. You got to be fair, though. They did fall apart, and they completely ran out of gas in the Western Conference Finals. People really backed off of those Anthony Edwards, Michael Jordan comparisons. Like, settle down a little bit, guys. But you know, they did overachieve. So I think if you're a Timberwolves fan, you do have to be really happy with how far they got last season. Absolutely. I do like the depth. Randle as the number two behind Ant. He takes over from Karl Anthony Clowns. I think a lot of people were kind of really surprised by that trade. I think we broke that down when that happened. Big issue for this team, though, is Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. During the regular season, yes, he's going to be a great defensive player. He's going to get all those rebounds, get all those blocks. Why is he such a liability in big games is my question. Despite playing more minutes in the playoffs last season, scoring, rebounds, blocks all went down. Field goal percentage went down despite taking fewer shots per game. Wasn't he a liability for France in the Olympics, too?
He didn't play him.
That pattern care. What is going on there? So I don't get that. I don't know if that's going to come back to bite them here in the playoffs. Can Anthony Edwards take another step? He took a big step last year. One of the best players in the NBA, no doubt about it. But I don't know. I think their ceiling is getting back to the West Finals. I don't think that they would beat the Nuggets again. I don't think they can beat the Thunder. Your big picture view of the T-Wolves. And then we will get you to break down that best bet for them.
Just to touch on what you're saying, Rudy Gobert, I think the big thing with Rudy Gobert is, you know, in a lot of matchups, really excellent defender, but there's certain points in a playoff series where maybe the matchups don't line up. And you saw that against the Mavericks, which killed them, was he's playing drop coverage and Luka's hitting logo threes. You can't be playing drop coverage in the pick and roll when Luka's pulling up for logo threes. And then that's a point. And that's where France had no problem. Here's the conversation. You're on the bench and the Timberwolves is a little trickier, right? Cause you have this guy on contract for a lot of years. So that's kind of something. And I do think that kind of plays into the trade they made. And that's my initial reaction to that trade was I was a little confused from the Timberwolves side. I wasn't sure why you'd move on from a 7-footer who shoots 40% from three, especially in today's NBA, and a guy who was kind of like wanted to stay in Minnesota, was your franchise cornerstone. But then I was watching them in the preseason, and I'm not so sure it was as much about Julius Randle as it was that Dante DiVincenzo looks like the guy who really kind of completes this roster for them, but you're not just going to trade Towns for DiVincenzo. So when you look at them last year, their defense was really good, but their offense could get stuck in the mud, and they didn't really have much they could do on their bench to kind of change that. And now they have options. They could throw you a completely offensive lineup where it's like Naz Reid, Rob Dillingham, that he's an elite scorer off the bench rookie from Kentucky. Then you have Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, even Terrence Shannon Jr., again, another scorer. But then they also have a defensive lineup. You know, Anthony Edwards can guard, Mike Conley can guard, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jay McDaniels, Rudy Gobert. So they can kind of play, you know, in the postseason, it's a lot about chess. And last year they were very, very defensive. And now they kind of have, they can go either way. And I think they can really start to manipulate their lineups to match up with other teams. I think they're going to be very scary in a playoff series because they can do that. Do you want shooting with Julius Randle and Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert goes to the bench, or do you want defense where Jay McDaniels plays the four and Gobert is a defensive player of the year? This team is very, very interesting. It's kind of interesting too that their win total is one win higher, but plus 1200 to win the NBA Finals, where the Nuggets are one win less and plus 1000. I think that just plays into the fact that we've seen the Nuggets do it recently. But I'm pretty high on the Wolves. I didn't really like the trade when I first saw it, but as I've been watching here in preseason, like even they just played the Knicks 2 days ago and DiVincenzo was playing alongside Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup. Their offense was flowing really, really nice with that shooting piece of DiVincenzo beside Anthony Edwards. So I think we got to give the Wolves a little bit of time here. That trade might actually end up working out really, really well for them.
Okay, you make some good points. DiVincenzo, that guy's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. No player in the history of the league has ever been playing with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah, I saw the highlights for that. And Julius Randle probably too, He was with the Knicks. They just kind of threw him in the trash a little bit, it seems like. He had some really good seasons for the Knicks. He's far from being washed up by any means. I know he had the injury issues last year, but that's a guy who can really contribute to the scoring. So I don't know. Who knows? I guess I got scared off just like they just completely ran out of gas in the West Finals. Maybe you could say, oh, Joe, that's a young team and good learning experience for them. So, yeah, then – and OKC and the Nuggets at the top. And then, two teams we're going to be discussing tomorrow, the Phoenix Suns, I believe, and the Memphis Grizzlies. We were considering throwing the Clippers in there. The Clippers just announced that Kawhi is not going to be ready for opening night already. Oh, my God. Talk about bending over for a player and doing everything possibly for them. And it just continues to backfire. Just insanity there. So, yeah, we'll see what the season has in store for the Clippers. But, so that's our thoughts on, your best bet for the T-Wolves. Let's not forget about this. Break it down.
Yeah, so I did put Anthony Edwards plus 215 first team All-NBA. This is actually a kind of a big ricochet of Joel Embiid just saying, he's not going to play in back-to-backs. The Shams reported that he's going to have periodic time off. I mean, Joel Embiid is not making the 65-game threshold at all. But he's near the top of that market to be first-team All-NBA. Like, if he plays 65 games, he's first-team All-NBA with his defense, his offense. So Embiid kind of opens up a spot for someone else. And if you think Anthony Edwards – I don't think Anthony Edwards is going to get in the mix for NBA MVP. I just don't think he's done his time yet. That's kind of just how the NBA works. So I think first-team All-NBA is that first step for him. And, like, you look at SGA, he's been first-team All-NBA the last two seasons. Now I think he can get that MVP piece. Anthony Edwards hasn't quite got there yet. So I think this would be the year he'd be first team all NBA. And he's a great combo of scoring and defense, right? And that obviously, and you're going to be on a winning team. So you're looking at like a top record in the West. He plays defense. He scores. If he increases average, it just kind of screams first team all NBA. But this was a big Rick. This had a lot to do with the fact that I think Embiid is opening up a spot for someone else. And I think that could be Anthony Edwards. And I'll touch on the comment there by Dell. The point guard is too old. He's talking about Mike Conley.
That's discrimination.
DiVincenzo last
ban him from the chat.
DiVincenzo in the preseason game was kind of running the point. He had a bunch of assists. And when I watched the game, every pass he made, I was like, oh, they must make it because I knew he had 7 assists. He had a ton of potential assists. And he looked really good kind of as a ball handler for the Timberwolves. So that's something to keep an eye on too, where this trade with DiVincenzo, if they put him on the ball and it works, that could be pretty interesting.
To change the topic here, to stay in the NBA, is there truth to this? Did you see this report where Joel Embiid said he's probably never going to play in back-to-backs ever again for the rest of his... That's... Well, from one perspective, it's like, hey, at least he admits it, right? And, because we all know this bullshit. I complain about it more than anyone. Load management, it's the least fan-friendly thing in all of sports. So at least... he admits it, if you're planning out buying tickets for 76ers games and they're coming to your town, you see it's the second game of a back-to-back, maybe you can have a second thought about going to the game or at least know what the expectations are. But, and I told myself, I'm going to stop complaining about this because I've been complaining about it for 10 years now and nothing's going to change. They're not going to make the NBA season 65 games in the right because they're not going to leave money on the table. But isn't that just pure insanity? I'm probably never going to play in back-to-backs ever again. At least he admits it, but this is a major issue. It continues to be insanity.
The 76ers are very, very fortunate they're in the Eastern Conference because this wouldn't work in the Western Conference. And I think the Phoenix Suns kind of got burned by it last year, thinking that they could kind of rest their guys, you know, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. They didn't really play many games at the end of the year. I think they thought they could get away with it. And then by the end of the year, they were like fighting to avoid that play-in tournament. So the 76ers are lucky they're on the other, in the other conference where they might be able to get away with it. But the big thing from a betting perspective is he says he's not going to play in back-to-backs, but like you look at the 76ers schedule, I think like the back end of one of their first back-to-backs is an NBA Cup game. So is he going to sit out the NBA Cup game, which is technically more meaningful? So then my other thought is he going to sit out the front end of the back-to-back? I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities where the sportsbooks are going to put up the 76ers player props. He's going to be included in those opening lines, and we might be able to guess that he might not be playing that night, and we can look at some like maxi overs and stuff like that and kind of attack them like that.
So. Yeah, there's something to be said about continuity, right? Like if you look at a team like the Knicks, those guys are probably going to be playing the majority of the season unless you have a guy getting injured. But when you have a situation with the 76ers, for example, where Embiid's going to miss a third of the games potentially, something along those lines, you have different lineups, different rotations, then it's to the playoffs. And it's like, okay, we have to set everything in stone here. So I don't know. I think that could bite them. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward. I complain about it, right? But I love this stuff, and I cannot wait to the start of the season, which is
one week
away. And John's going to be on the show every day starting next Tuesday. He's also going to be back with us tomorrow. We will be previewing the Suns and the Grizzlies, and John Middlecoff will be by for his weekly chat on the NFL, all the big news there. Always a lot to discuss, covering Major League Baseball playoffs as well. Dell asked, Mavericks or Wolves, who finishes higher? I would say the Wolves.
Wolves
would finish higher. You know, Klay Thompson, he'll have a chip on his shoulder, like we talk about, but he is a bit long in the tooth, I guess you could say. So, I don't know. Kyrie Irving continue his redemption series, probably, or redemption story, potentially, we shall see. Luka is still, what, 25 years old? Yeah. Seems like he's been in the league forever. Yeah.
It does. You'd be shocked at like, that always surprises me too, how old he is.
Question for you, and we'll leave. Bobby Newport asks, for $100, can anyone tell without looking, who does Landry Shamet play for?
The Knicks.
He's on the Knicks roster?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can reach out to Bobby Newport and he can Venmo or Cash App you over $100. There we go. The Luka disrespect is crazy. No disrespect to the guy. I just don't think that the Mavericks are that well of a good of a roster compared to the Timberwolves.
There's it's incredibly frightening that they think one of Klay Thompson, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving is going to be their point of attack defender. That is wild. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that is an issue. Okay, let us leave it at that. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow covering the NFL, covering the NBA, covering Major League Baseball. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel, covering everything that is worth covering in the world of sports betting. So thank you to my two guests for joining me today. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for being our sponsor. And thank you to all of our great viewers for tuning in today. Guys, best of luck with your bets today and tonight. And we will catch you again tomorrow. Woo!